Hello, and welcome to Power Pros Podcast, episode 98, Explorers of Time. I am your host, the Hoff, Chris Hoffman, and with me is my co-host and nemesis, Pete Michaud.
It's-a me, Pete-io.
I don't even know how to respond to that. Good to have you back on the show, Pete.
It's a good to be back.
Would you stop? I'm going to call you Petey Piranha from now on. Thanks for joining me once again to talk about the latest goings-on in the world of Nintendo. And boy, we've actually got some pretty big things to discuss this week, including Nintendo's official announcement of the Super NES Classic. That's right, it is official. It is coming this fall, and it is going to be this week's big topic. But before we get into that, we're going to kick things off with some news and some game impressions.
Sweet. Let's do it.
First and foremost, we had a new release on the Nintendo 3DS last week, and that is Ever Oasis. That is a new action RPG from the folks at Grezzo and director Koichi Ishii, the creator of the Mana series.
So what do you think, Chris? You've played it, right?
Yes, I put in about 9 hours so far, actually, and I'm enjoying it. You can definitely feel the game's roots. You can tell where it came from. It's got super cute visuals, and it's got a three-character real-time battle system, kind of like the old Mana games. However, it's also sort of just a little bit like ActRaiser, only in the most basic ways. And by that, I mean that the game has both action with you fighting monsters, and then it has not simulation segments, but these community growth segments where you're engaging in activities to build up your oasis or your village.
Now you're speaking my language. I love ActRaiser.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't play like ActRaiser at all, but just on a conceptual level, I think they're very comparable. And it's fun, no matter what you're doing. It's fun to fight, it's fun to explore, and it's really great how the combat and exploration feeds into the village growth. Because by growing the village, you are able to explore more and fight better because new villagers come and your oasis levels up and you get new abilities, new equipment, more hit points, and it's just this continuous, fun, addictive cycle where each part is feeding back and forth into the other, and it drives you to keep doing, these activities. Like, oh, I want to go out there and explore. I want to, progress the plot. And that's like, oh, well, I have to do these side quests to, build up the village and make it bigger and better. And, it's just a whole lot of fun. You're exploring to get loot, and a lot of that is to help the villagers out with their shops. Because, as you replenish their supply, that helps the shops level up. And again, that just, brings more powers and abilities to your characters.
Right.
And then on top of just exploring for that purpose, there are also, full-fledged Zelda-style dungeons. And those are well-made as well.
When you say Zelda-style, do you mean like actual puzzles to solve or the way you fight enemies? Or, what exactly makes it feel like Zelda?
Well, I mean, I suppose the combat in the game is comparable to Zelda. It's got the lock-on button. You can circle around them, attack from behind, and all that good stuff. But yes, they are full of puzzles, and just the way they're designed, you have to get various, keys to open the doors and things like that. They're structured very similar to a Zelda dungeon. And I guess that makes sense since Grezzo did do the ports of a few of the Zelda games on 3DS. So they are well-versed with that series.
Cool.
The one problem I'm encountering with the game is that your AI partners are a little bit dumb. You can switch between the three characters you have at any time, but they just aren't very clever when it comes to being defensive. So when I was in a boss fight and I needed to, switch between characters to use their different abilities, like I needed to use one character to clear away some sand and I had another character used a ranged attack to hit the boss's weak point. Well, sometimes I would find that one of the characters I needed to switch to had killed himself because he wasn't good at avoiding the boss's attacks. So, I wish that were a little bit better. It might have been nice if you just had one shared health bar and the player-controlled character was the only one taking damage or something like that.
Right.
But, it's not the end of the world. And I guess it would also be nice if you could switch in some of the characters on the fly, because there are a whole bunch of playable characters, and they have distinctive abilities. Some characters have different weapons that are useful against different enemies, and some of them have different additional abilities, like being able to dig in the ground or use these little flower petals to get up to new areas or to mine for ore. But you can only have two characters with you at any given time, and so you might discover, oh, I need a different ability to get through this part. or to check out this optional objective here. And you can warp back to your oasis at any time and then pretty much warp back right to where you were, but it's still kind of a pain.
Sure.
I mean, why make you do that? Why not just be able to swap in another character right then and there?
Right.
So that would have been nice, but still, despite that, I'm enjoying the game quite a bit.
Yeah, when I first saw the videos for this game, I was actually hopeful that the other two players were controllable by another actual player.
Yeah, that would have been cool too. I thought the same thing. And again, because of the whole mana connection,
yeah,
and the way that was a three-player game on the Super NES, I was like, man, this would be so cool if you could do this with two actual players. I mean, I understand from a technical perspective why it, probably wasn't possible, but you're right. It would have been very cool.
Yeah, that's too bad. I feel like that feature might have pushed it over the edge for me to purchase. I still might actually look into it. I love the idea of the whole progression where you get a little stronger. You get to, mm-hmm. Be more powered up, go through the level together. But yeah, I don't know. For right now, it's kind of a wait and see.
Well, I mean, I was feeling the same way before I played it. I wasn't really quite sure. I didn't have any expectations. I thought, okay, this looks neat, but is it really going to be that great? But after playing it, I'm definitely sold on it. I'm really enjoying it, surprisingly so. It is quite excellent, and I recommend it for action RPG fans.
Well, you may have talked me into it, so we'll see. I'll let you know.
Well, and there is a demo on the eShop, so if you're not sure, just check that out. And it's only a little bit of a taste.
Mm-hmm.
I think the actual game is actually far better than the demo indicates, but still, give the demo a spin. There's no reason not to.
All right, definitely.
Cool. And then, in addition to that, I have also been playing a game on the Switch, and that is Mighty Gunvolt Burst.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it is out there in the eShop for $10. It's also coming out to the Nintendo 3DS this week, I believe. It'll probably be out by the time you hear this podcast. But yes, it is a 2D sprite-based action platformer featuring the characters from Mighty No. 9 and Gunvolt.
The original Gunvolt. Correct?
Well, any Gunvolt, I suppose, but this is a direct follow-up to the original Mighty Gunvolt that came out on 3DS a few years ago.
Gotcha. That makes sense.
Although, for the most part, this is a Mighty No. 9 game.
Hmm.
It has the same stage concepts that were in Mighty No. 9. It has the same boss enemies that were in Mighty No. 9. There's really not that much from Gunvolt other than the main character.
Now, wait, before you say anything else, does that mean it's a good thing, or...
Well, I mean, Mighty No. 9, it left a bad taste in a lot of people's mouths.
Mm-hmm.
And so if I were the developers at Intercreates, I probably wouldn't have gone this way.
Mm-hmm.
But let me tell you, after playing it, I'm seeing a completely different tune. It's actually a whole lot of fun, and it's way, way better than Mighty No. 9. In fact, if this game had come out instead of Mighty No. 9, I think the entire gaming world would be a whole lot happier. I also think that they should have probably given this away free to everybody who actually paid money for Mighty No. 9 to wash away that bad taste in their mouth. Because this is just better, more fun in almost every regard.
Hmm.
It plays a lot like classic Mega Man. There's no more of that weird dashing into enemies to finish them off, or really dashing at all for the most part, unless you unlock it and customize your character with it.
Crazy.
But it really does feel like a good throwback to Mega Man as far as the level variety and the boss variety. You've got your traditional theme stages, an ice water stage,
right,
a fire stage, air stage, earth stage, electrical stage where the power goes out and you're in the dark part of the time. So that's all great. There are lots of collectibles to pick up, and these aren't just, throwaway collectibles. These are things that help you modify your weapons and your character. That's sort of a big feature of this game, is this deep customization system.
Cool.
And you can customize, like, every aspect of your weapons, like the shot size, the speed, the trajectory, the number of shots on screen at once. It's really very extensive. And you might think, well, that's not really a big deal. And I don't know, in some ways it's not. Maybe they could have just gone the Mega Man route and every weapon you get would have its own unique characteristics like that. But it's kind of cool.
Hmm. Yeah.
But then, in addition to being able to customize your weapons like this, there's a lot of customization for your character. And so even though you're customizing the weapons, you use it to influence things like the game difficulty.
Wow.
And your abilities. Like, you can give yourself an air dash or increase your defenses or increase your weapon strength, or even make, like, instant death objects not kill you instantly.
That's pretty cool, actually.
Yeah, yeah, it's very handy. And there's a limitation to all this. You have CP, which are customization points. Mm-hmm. You have a limit on how many mods you can use. And you can collect upgrades that boost your maximum number of CP. So early on, you can only do a couple of mods. But then by the end of the game, you can do all kinds of crazy things. You have a spread homing shot and, you know, only take half damage while dishing out double damage if you want to.
I like that. So that's pretty cool. That's a kind of an interesting take on the customization ability in a lot of games.
Yeah, it is pretty cool and it is pretty neat. And on top of that, just, you know, the regular action and platforming and shooting are all, you know, really, really solid as well. Just don't do what I did, because, you know, at one point in the game, it's like, okay, I could probably use an increase in my armor right now. Mm-hmm. And so I decided to use that modification. And so I switched to 2x protection. But that actually doubled how much damage I was taking. I wanted 0.5. So suddenly things got really hard. I'm like, man, why am I dying in just a couple of hits now? It's because I chose the wrong option, didn't realize it.
Yeah, so I could see making that mistake.
You can even go to, you know, switch to 1/4 damage. That makes the game super easy. I wouldn't recommend it. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the regular difficulty, you know, it's pretty good for Mega Man fans. But if you need a little bit of help, you know, switching to 0.5 damage is great. It helps you learn the patterns. And, you know, there's a lot of Mega Man games where you can get items that, you know, cut your damage in half. The original Mega Man X had that, and so it doesn't really feel like cheating. And, you know, definitely gives you an edge in battle.
Cool. So how does this game rank in the overall, if you were going to compare it to the Mega Man series, how would you rank it?
Oh, well, I mean, it's still no Mega Man, but we're not really getting any Mega Man these days. So, right. You know, it's it fills that niche. Pretty well.
All right. Nice way of dodging my question.
I mean, it's not as good as any of the Mega Man games, except, you know, maybe, you know, the Game Boy ones. I mean, I'd certainly take any of the NES Mega Mans over this, but that doesn't mean that this is bad by any stretch of the imagination.
Now, would you take it over Mega Man's soccer?
Yes. Yes, I would. I should also mention that when it comes to the difficulty, you actually have infinite retries. There's no game over, just your score gets decreased and you feel the personal humiliation of dying in the game. But they have it designed so you can keep trying again. You don't have to worry about getting sent back to the beginning of the stage. Although, man, that really did make it frustrating when I had that double damage on, because it's like, oh my gosh, I just died, you know, 15 times in a row against this boss. I'm never going to beat him. And then I actually gave up on it. And then I came back later, like, oh, I had double damage. I was inflicting double damage on myself. No wonder it was so hard. So,
are there checkpoints at all in the game?
Yes, yes, okay. There are checkpoints. I wouldn't say it's, you know, like overly generous, but it seems just about right.
That's
so
good.
Yeah, good number of checkpoints. When it comes to the boss, you do get to start right at the boss and try again, since those do tend to be the toughest parts of the game.
Very cool.
There's also this emphasis in the game on burst combos, which means, you know, basically finishing off your enemy just up close and personal, but they don't actually affect the gameplay at all. If you don't care about that, you don't care about a score, then you totally can ignore that part. If you just want to enjoy the game for what it is, you can totally do that. So it's interesting if they have that in there for the hardcore players, if you want to get that high score, the S ranking. But if you don't, you can just completely ignore it. So I think that's fine. I think it works well on all levels. It's a very fun game. You know, I was all ready to be like, oh man, another game with Mighty Number 9. But no, this game far surpassed my expectations, and kind of makes me hate Mighty Number 9 a whole lot less as a property.
Mm-hmm. Now, would you be ready to give this game a review?
Sure, yeah. I've finished the game already, so yeah, no problem. I think on a Nintendo Power scale, I'll probably give it an 8.5.
Wow. Cool. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm actually intrigued to pick this one up. I like the 2D pixel art side scrollers, and I, you know, and I was a contributor to Mighty Number 9, and I played it all of like a half hour and was pretty disappointed. Mm-hmm. So I feel like this might be redemption. But like you said, I would really appreciate them having sent this game out as an apology. But unfortunately, I'm sure it's a company that needs to actually make money and, you know, answer to investors. So Yeah, we'll see. Maybe this is a sign of good things to come from the folks that made this.
Well, Intercreates has always been good. I think Comcept had minimal involvement. But yes, it is a little bit of redemption for My Number 9 and its fans. In addition to those new games, I also, of course, got my hands on the latest and greatest Amiibo.
Amiibo!
Oh, surprise, surprise.
And of course, by that I mean the brand new Legend of Zelda Amiibo. There were three new ones released last week, and I would say they're all pretty good, possibly even great, but I think there's still some room for improvement in all of them.
How so?
Well, first of all, we've got Link from Twilight Princess. And that's a great costume, a great look for the character. The Amiibo is very nicely detailed, especially when it comes to his shield and his gauntlet and the chainmail that's poking out from under his tunic. But he's got kind of a weird expression on his face if you pay attention to it. If you look at the art this is based on, he has this very determined look. But if you look at the Amiibo, he just kind of looks grumpy and looks like he's going to vomit a little.
What?
Yeah, he just looks a little bit perturbed and a little bit pukey. All right. And then the pose doesn't translate that well into 3D as it does in 2D.
Hmm.
And I kind of don't remember the armor being this gold in the game or in the art, but it still looks really great. But yeah, it's his facial expression that is kind of weirding me out on this one. Then we've got Link from Majora's Mask, which is a very solid sculpt. It's got a great pose. I especially like the way that he's holding up the Goron mask, partially covering his face.
Mm-hmm.
It's not really my favorite version of Link, but it's still pretty darn great. But my complaint on this one is that the brown paint that's on the sash on his chest doesn't mm-hmm. really cover the entire strap. So it's partially green where it should be brown.
Hmm.
And I haven't really had any other samples to compare this to. Maybe it's just mine, or maybe they're all this way. But it's really unusual because the paint apps on Amiibo are usually, fantastic,
mm-hmm.
spot on, almost flawless. So in that sense, this is one of the most disappointing paint jobs I have seen by Amiibo standards. I mean, you have to look pretty close to notice it. And, if I weren't, taking pictures and looking at it close up, I might not have even noticed.
Hmm.
But it is kind of a weird distraction that is surprisingly off for the Amiibo.
Now, looking at a picture of it online, and I see that there is a part where like his collar overlaps the sash. That's not what you're talking about.
No, I'm just talking about the sash it has on mine. It's brown down the middle, but then on either side of it, there's a stripe of green. It's like the brown just wasn't wide enough to cover it.
Hmm. Interesting.
Mm-hmm. And then, last but certainly not least, we have Link from Skyward Sword. I think it's a fantastic look for the character. I think it's a great pose. It's a little bit beefier, and it feels more substantial than some of the other Link Amiibo, and he looks really ready for battle. But the problem with this one is that he's holding out his sword almost horizontally, and so when you combine that pose with soft plastic, the sword tends to bend and sort of droop just a little bit. So it's not quite straight. It's just, just wilting, just a tad.
Would you say that's a performance problem? There might be a pill for that, or?
That's something you'll have to take up with Link and possibly Zelda. But it's not very substantial. It's not a major thing. And, as long as it doesn't get worse over time, it's not really anything for me to complain about. It is my favorite of the three Amiibo overall.
Cool. Yeah, sounds like none of them are flawless, but yeah, that sounds like a winner.
Yeah, I do still like them, despite the little flaws, and so for an Amiibo collector like me, I'm still pretty happy that I got all of them.
Yeah, I still like you, despite your flaws.
Why, thanks, Nemi Cake.
You're welcome, Huff Mander.
There was just one news story that I wanted to bring up this week, and this is actually a story that we probably should have talked about last week or the week before, and somehow we missed it among all of the other E3 chaos that was going on, and that is that Axiom Verge is indeed finally going to be coming to Switch.
Awesome.
Have you played this on any other system?
No, I haven't, but I've read all about it, and I really would like to play it, and I've kind of just been waiting for it to come to Switch, so this is a great announcement for me.
Yeah, it's very exciting. It's a really fun Metroid-style game. It's got some really cool abilities. And if you were following this online, you might have heard that there was some drama going on where, you know, Nintendo wasn't allowing it to come out on Switch. But anyway, that is all in the past. It is coming to Switch, and it is getting both a digital and a physical release this August. And the physical release includes a soundtrack, a making-of documentary, a commentary booklet, and a little poster. So that is pretty awesome, in my opinion.
Yeah, really cool. I can't wait to play this game, actually.
Yeah, the physical version is also coming to Wii U, and I was kind of waiting to pick that up. But now that it's coming to Switch, I think I'm just going to have to get the Switch version and be content with my digital version on Wii U. But any way you look at it, it's fantastic. If you haven't bought it, you should totally do so. It's a great game.
Yeah, I think even the developers will like admit that it's pretty much a homage to Metroid, or at least borrows liberally and heavily from that game.
Indeed it does.
Well, so I think it just makes sense that it comes to Nintendo's latest system. It just feels at home on Switch.
Mm-hmm. Yep, absolutely. I suppose we should take an intermission now and get ready for our big topic. But before we do that, I did want to put out a call to action to our listeners. You might have already seen this on our Twitter feed, but we are going to be doing a in-depth Nintendo Power episode in the fairly near future, and I want to hear your questions.
I want to hear them too, actually.
Basically, the concept is everything you want to know about Nintendo Power, but were not afraid to ask. So send them to us via Twitter, send them to us via email, and we will address them as best we can in an upcoming episode. So with that said, let's take a little intermission, and then when we come back, we will discuss this week's big topic, which is the Super NES Classic. All right, we are back, and we are ready to discuss this week's big topic, which is Nintendo's official unveiling of the Super NES Classic. That's right, following up on the NES Classic from last year, they are back with a 16-bit version. It's going to be $79.99. It's going to include two controllers, it's going to include 21 games, and it's going to be out on September 29th. Pretty exciting, if you ask me, Pete.
Yeah, it's awesome. Especially the two controller thing. That's great. That's like a game changer. I feel like everyone bought two controllers with the NES Classic. So
really?
Yeah.
Because I feel like nobody did because you couldn't find the darn things.
Well, what I meant is if you
could. I mean, I never even saw one in the store aside from the one I bought after waiting in line for like 3 hours. And I never saw another one ever again.
Yeah, I think you're
right. It was easier and cheaper to buy two NES Classics and just take out the second controller than it was to actually find the individual controller. That was a pain in the butt. So yes, I totally agree. It's a great thing that they are including two controllers in the box. So you don't have to hunt down another one.
Sounds like you have strong feelings about that.
Yes, I'm not. Yes, you're not wrong about that.
Now, I've heard, I don't know if this is actually founded in reality, or it could just be filthy rumor, but the controller cords are going to be longer than they were for the NES Classic.
Yes, that is true. Nintendo has been listening to the criticisms that people had about the NES Classic, and they are going to try, apparently, to fix them for the Super NES Classic. So longer controller cords, they're going to be 5 feet instead of only, like, what were they with the NES, 3 inches or something?
Yeah, I think they were as long as, like, T-Rex arms or something like that.
So yeah, they're going to be 5 feet this time, which is still less than the original Super NES controller cable, but still, it's definitely a step in the right direction. Of course, having the second controller bundled in there is addressing a big problem.
Yep.
And then, supposedly, this thing will be available a lot more easily than the NES Classic was.
Yeah, and of course, you know, the price is a little bit extra, but with the included controller, it kind of, I think it kind of works out in the end. And honestly, I think Nintendo kind of views their properties on Super Nintendo maybe worth a little bit more. If you looked at the Virtual Console, they charged a little bit more for Super Nintendo. So I feel like overall, it's a pretty good deal.
Yeah, it's still a pretty good value, even though you are getting less software for more money. But like you said, the extra controller, there's value in that. And yeah, these games did cost more to begin with. I mean, heck, back in the day, there are some Super NES games that cost $80, the same price as it does to get this entire collection. So,
yeah, it's kind of crazy when you think about it like that.
Yeah, indeed. And you know, when we talk about the software, I suppose the natural place to start is Star Fox 2.
Mm-hmm.
The game that was supposed to come out way, way back in the day for the Super Nintendo, and it got canceled, never materialized, and it fell into the video game netherworld, never to be seen again, until now.
Until now. That's pretty amazing, right? I was trying to think about this the other day. I was like, it's almost like a time capsule or something, right? Like, what else is there that you, from your childhood, it's almost like somebody announced that like Goonies 2 was coming out or something, and
an NES game that did.
But like it was actually filmed and sitting in a reel somewhere, and then finally released.
I know what you mean. Yeah,
yeah, it's pretty cool.
Yeah, totally. I mean, it's got to be a world record that they finished the game like 22 years ago, and now it's finally going to be coming out.
Yeah, I can't even imagine it would have been, like, how they would have worked on it. But, yeah, it's great. I mean, it's however they did it, whatever dark arts they had to perform, it's pretty amazing.
Yeah, just the fact that they finally, apparently, nailed down Super FX chip emulation and are going to be able to give us authentic versions of these games, which, you know, no one's really ever been able to do before. They haven't done on Virtual Console or anything like that. That is pretty awesome. And then getting this brand new, brand old, lost classic game on top of that. It's just fantastic and probably worth the price of admission alone.
Yeah, and that was definitely missing from our list of must-haves for the Super NES. So,
well, yeah, I mean, who would have expected?
Like, I just think it was so far out there, so far-fetched, I don't think anybody really had that in their prediction. So,
yeah, I mean, you worked at Nintendo for a long time. Did you ever get the opportunity to, you know, drag out the old Star Fox 2 ROM and play it or anything like that?
You know, it's weird. I feel like I definitely have some history of it, but I can't think of when it might have just been screenshots, or maybe it was an old Nintendo Power article.
Definitely in there.
Yeah, maybe that's what I'm thinking of. I don't think I ever played it. And then I've heard things online where even if you play the whatever version was released that people have, like, you know, hacked and tried to find.
Yes, the illicit ROM that's made its way onto the internet.
Yeah, even that wasn't really a complete ROM. So, you know, there's always that chance that Nintendo made some big changes to it. I mean, even like Dylan Cuthbert, one of the developers in charge of Star Fox 2 back in the day, even he was saying it was a shock to him that this game was getting released after all this time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this whole thing kind of feels like an episode of The Twilight Zone, where all of a sudden we're able to play a game that never existed.
Yeah, totally. You're not wrong about that. But as for the other 20 games, that is sort of a powerhouse lineup, who's who and what's what of the Super NES. So why don't we go down the list a little bit here. It starts with Contra 3, The Alien Wars. That is definitely one of the all-time classics. Konami A-lister, two-player, co-op, run-and-gun shooter. I love that one.
Yep, a little Mode 7 top-down view even in some of the levels.
That's
pretty
right.
Sweet.
Yeah, that's right. I kind of forgot about the alternating levels that had the top-down stuff where you could spin around the entire level. Whenever I think of Mode 7 in that game, I always think of the very beginning. Not the very beginning, but that part on the first stage where that plane, you know, swoops down and shoots the missiles at you and the entire level bursts into flames.
Yeah, that's pretty rad.
But yeah, there's lots of really cool stuff throughout the entire game. Then we've got Donkey Kong Country, a game that, you know, kind of reinvigorated Nintendo and put Rare onto the map big time. Classic platformer. But we're only getting the first one, not the second or the third. As far as I'm concerned, I think that is a great choice. It's my favorite in the series. What about you?
Yeah, I think that makes the most sound sense. If you're going to have one, you got to have the original.
Yeah, I guess if they had more games than having the other two on there, but we've only got 20. I think it makes sense to just include the first one.
Yep.
Then after that, we've got Earthbound, obviously a classic RPG that for years it was kind of impossible to get here in North America. So I'm really glad to see that after it being so hard to get for so long, we got not only on Wii U and 3DS, but now we're getting it on the Super NES Classic, so that is fantastic.
Yeah, it's almost like this earthbound dam just finally broke.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden it's everywhere. It's like coming out of our ears.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Available in three different forms, and there's like, you know, Earthbound Amiibo, and, you know, who would have expected? And then we've got Final Fantasy III, or Final Fantasy VI, as it was originally called in Japan. I hate the fact that we're back to having to call it Final Fantasy III and explain that they butchered the naming system for North America again. But whatever, it's an awesome game. It's one of my all-time favorite RPGs, and that's kind of what I was alluding to before when I said that some of these games were $80 by themselves. I think that's what I paid for this sucker way back in the day.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I mean, it's huge, it's epic, great story, great characters. To me, it is still the best Final Fantasy game.
Yeah, if it's not the best, it's one of the best. Absolutely. You can't really argue with that. I am slightly ever so disappointed that Final Fantasy II, as they called it in North America, is not on this as well. But you know what? If you can't do every sequel, it's, you know, I understand keeping three instead of two.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it does make the most sense. And by the way, you are not coming anywhere near my Super NES Classic to erase my game on this one like you do with Final Fantasy VI Advance.
Says you.
Over my dead body.
Now, the three is the one with the classic opera scene, correct?
Yes, that is right.
That's my favorite. I honestly think that's like one of the best moments in any RPG of all time.
Mm-hmm. Yep, I totally would agree with you.
Sweet.
Strangely enough. After that, we got F-Zero. That was a Super NES launch title, and it set sort of new standards for racing games, taking advantage of that Mode 7. It was never one of my personal favorites, but it is a really, you know, important game in the history of the system.
Yeah, it's cool. And F-Zero is one of those titles that is just, like, desperate for a sequel. Well, a current sequel.
Mm-hmm.
So I would love to see this sort of be the entry point for folks, especially, you know, if you're trying to like introduce your kids to what F-Zero is all about, and then have it come out on Switch, a new version, hopefully soon.
Yeah, that'd be nice. I would like that. And then we've got not one, but two Kirby games. We have Kirby Superstar, which for me is sort of the definitive Kirby game on the Super NES. And, you know, we got a remake of it on handheld systems not too terribly long ago, but that's fine with me. It's still cool to have the original, and I think that the Super NES Classic would feel kind of empty without a Kirby platformer. And then the other one is Kirby's Dream Course, which is a you know, sort of fantasy mini-golf game featuring Kirby. It's not one that I played very much, but I've heard great things about it.
Yeah, funny enough, I remember Andy Myers of old Nintendo Power fame.
Yes, and the person responsible for the show's theme song.
That's right. So I remember him showing me that game, and I had never played it, and he was like kind of going off about it like he just like absolutely adored it. And I remember being actually kind of fascinated how cool the game looked. You know, honestly, not gonna lie, Kirby games kind of turned me off for the most part. But this one in particular, the mechanic of it and the whole like mini golf meets Kirby just looked super fun. And this will give me a chance to play it. So I'm excited.
Yeah, I've never really sunk my teeth into it. So this will give me a chance. Not literally, because eating Kirby would be kind of gross even for me.
Yeah, I'd probably get some in your whiskers or.
Well, I mean, he looks very gummy. You wouldn't want him to get stuck anywhere.
Hi.
Next up, The Legend of Zelda, A Link to the Past. I don't really know if there's any more good things I can say about this game. It is arguably my favorite game of all time.
Yeah.
I love it. And the Super NES Classic would not be complete without it. So obviously I'm very happy about that one.
Yeah, it's great. I mean, there's nothing bad you can say about that game.
Indeed. And then we have Mega Man X. Certainly not the only Mega Man game released on the Super NES, but I would say it's the best one. It changed up the Mega Man formula in just enough ways, added some exploration elements, you know, aged it up a little bit, and ended up with a really excellent, fun, polished action platformer. I'm really happy about that one.
Now, what do you think? Do you think X made the most sense, or do you think X2 might have made more sense?
No way. X1 is definitely the best. You know, with X2 and X3, you know, they were still good games, but the extra things they added, get it, the extra things, weren't really, I'm going to shoot myself later, weren't really necessary. I don't think really improved upon the formula in any way. So I feel like, you know, the first one, that had the concept in its purest form and in its best form. So yeah, definitely the best choice.
Cool.
After that, we have the original Secret of Mana. As I was talking about earlier in the show, fantastic three-player action RPG. My big question is, will there be a way to actually play it three players? I mean, with the original Super NES, you need to have a multi-tap so you could have that third player in there.
Right.
But will there be a way to do that on this system? We do not know at this point.
Yeah, but I would say that if, Hori has anything to say about it, they'll probably end up releasing some kind of USB-bound multi-tap. Who knows? But it's awesome, especially with the two controllers. I feel like this is probably one of the better examples of a title that would really be great with two controllers if you have two players.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. Also has fantastic graphics, great music, and it's just an all-around excellent action RPG.
Yep, classic.
From there, we have Star Fox. And again, like I was alluding to earlier, they've never been able to give us a proper version of the Super NES Star Fox. It's not been on any form of virtual console, be it Wii or Wii U or 3DS. And so I think this is fantastic. It was never one of my favorite games, but it's a huge part of gaming history. And so I love it. I'm very happy it's on there.
Yeah, I feel like Star Fox probably hasn't dated itself as well as some other games, but I am excited to play it again. I think that the fact that they are finally able to, re-release it, they reverse engineered the Super FX chip. I can just imagine somebody in a lab. I'm sure it used some alchemy or some sorcery or, dark words were uttered. But whatever sorcery they needed to conjure up to make this happen, it's fantastic. I'm happy.
Yes, I cannot wait to play it again in all its 5 frames per second glory or whatever it was.
Yeah, it's definitely not a lot.
We've also got, from Capcom, Street Fighter 2 Turbo Hyper Fighting. That's not my favorite version of Street Fighter 2, but I think it is most people's favorite version of Street Fighter 2 on the Super NES. So I have to commend them for that choice. And when you're talking about any version of Street Fighter on the Super NES, it was pretty darn great.
Yeah, now I get confused, Chris. Which one is the Hyper Fighting? Is it the last one to have come out?
This was the second one to have come out.
Right.
It included more variable speeds, thus the Turbo and Hyper Fighting subtitle, and it was the game that added in the playable bosses. So this was the first time you could play as Balrog, Vega, Sagat, and M. Bison on the Super NES.
Gotcha. Now, is it missing the 4 additional characters, DJ and Cammy and...
Yes, those are not in there. So because of that, I kind of tend to prefer Super Street Fighter 2, which is the game they debuted in. But again, this seems to be the favorite among fighting game purists. So again, I can't blame them for putting in this version of the game.
Yeah, I'm happy with it. I'll take it.
Continuing down the list, we also have Super Castlevania 4. Certainly one of my favorites. Continuing the saga of Simon Belmont and his battle against Dracula. Excellent action platformer. I like this one a lot.
Another one that's chock full of Mode 7. Well, maybe not chock full, but it's got some Mode 7 showcasing where you're on some levels and all of a sudden it starts tilting and...
Oh, that's true. It's true.
Rolling and, yeah. It's fun. It's a great game, and I think it's a solid entry, and it deserves to be on this collection for sure.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it is certainly one of my favorite third-party games. I have bought it in multiple forms, and I'll be looking forward to having it again. And then, along the same vein, no pun intended, or maybe it was intended, I'm not sure, we've got Super Ghouls and Ghosts from Capcom, which is also an action platformer with a horror theme, but it's known for being even more challenging and may cause you to hurl your Super NES Classic across the room.
I was going to say, now you'll likely never beat it, but it's on the system, so that's cool.
At least it does have a level select cheat built in, so you can take advantage of that and maybe, warp straight to the final boss or something. Although, the Super NES Classic will, I assume, have a checkpoint save system where you can have save states like you could with the NES Classic. Mm-hmm. And who knows, maybe they'll even put in like a rewind feature or something like that. So maybe the game will be beatable if you take advantage of new features like that, if they're in there.
Yeah, have I ever told you that the soundtrack in this game is one of my favorite of all time?
No, I don't think you mentioned that, but it does have a fantastic soundtrack. Yeah, that is true.
Pretty rocking.
It's also got a very bearded protagonist, and I assume you like that as well.
I never thought about that, but you're right. Sir Arthur certainly does.
I know. I mean, it's just like you, running around in his beard and his boxer shorts all day long. It was just like you at NP.
Do you have Do you have a camera somewhere in my place?
My lawyer says I shouldn't talk about that.
Fair enough.
Then we've also got Super Mario Kart. This is where it all started. That's what started the kart racing genre, pretty much. You know, to me, it doesn't hold up that well, probably. But again, it's a very important part of Super NES and 16-bit history.
Yeah, and I think this game alone is the reason why two controllers being included is amazing. I can imagine playing a lot of battle mode or a lot of, you know, just competitive racing over the holidays or whenever, you know, you got maybe your brother around or something that you used to play it with. So it's pretty cool. I love it.
Yeah, I think it is a really cool, important inclusion to have there. Although for me, that second controller is probably going to get more use with Street Fighter than it is with the racing games.
Well, after you break it playing Super Ghouls and Ghosts, you're going to need that second controller to play the rest of your games.
I suppose so, which includes Super Mario RPG, Legend of the Seven Stars. Another great RPG. It's amazing how much good RPG content they have on this system between that and Earthbound and Final Fantasy.
Yeah, that's like 1,000 hours of game of RPG madness on this thing. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, something like that. That's not even considering Secret of Mana, if you want to count that as well. But yeah, I mean, obviously, this was a great classic game. It was made through a collaboration between Nintendo and Square Enix. And it even has, you know, lots of, you know, little cool creative nods in there to other games and stuff. And, you know, there's never been a true sequel to this. Obviously, we had Paper Mario, you know, we had Mario and Luigi, but never an actual bona fide follow-up to Super Mario RPG. I wish they would do that someday. But whatever, it's good just to be able to play through the original Super Mario RPG once again, because it is an excellent title.
Now, I think I mentioned this when we were talking about what our wants and desires for this system were, but I've actually never beat this game, and it's still sort of a shameful cloud I have over my head. So,
oh my gosh,
I'm hoping this will be the opportunity that I need to actually complete it.
Well, I hope so. Yeah, gotta take Smithy down a few notches, I'd say. Then, Super Mario World, of course. That was the game that launched with the Super NES, and it had to be included. You know, if there was any game that was a must-have inclusion on this system, it is Super Mario World. Probably the best 2D platformer of all time.
Yeah, and I'm starting to realize that this console had a lot of games with the name Super in them.
Yes, it did.
So it's kind of funny to see them all in a row like this on the list.
That one's kind of a weird one, though, because it was always Super Mario. We had Super Mario on the regular NES, so we're lucky it didn't wind up as Super Super Mario Brothers. We're lucky it just got Super Mario World, I suppose.
Right, so. And it's almost like how Mario is Mario's last name, apparently, so it'd be Super Super Mario.
Yeah. Would you stop? I do not believe that for one second.
Hey, Bob Hoskins told me that. Come on.
Well, speaking of Super games, we've also got Super Metroid, and we've got Super Punch-Out. Both fantastic installments in their respective series. I mean, I think it's pretty commonly agreed upon that Super Metroid is the best of the 2D side-scrolling Metroid games. And Super Punch-Out, you know, is a pretty excellent entry in that series as well.
Yeah, for its time, Super Metroid is a classic. It's
I mean, for any time, it's a classic.
I mean, but there's something...
It still holds up, man.
Yeah, no, you're right. It absolutely does. But even at that time, it felt like magic. Like, how did you make this game that, like, is so, like, rich in environments and mood setting with the music? And even, you know, the pixel art for Samus is gorgeous, and every little frame is animated, and I mean, if I don't know, I can't say enough about that game. It's like one of my all-time favorites, and I didn't even totally play it back in the day. I actually played it a little bit later in life and fell in love with it all over again. So, yeah, that's great. And Punch-Out for me too. Super Punch-Out is also right up there. It's maybe not as good as the original, but then it might be better. I might be a little jaded because I played the original first. Mm-hmm. If Super Punch-Out was your first entry into that world, it's by all means a great game. I love some of the characters that they brought in.
Yeah, it's got fantastic characters. Yeah. It's got really cool moves, and it looks beautiful. It has some really cool techniques as well.
And introduced Bear Hugger, who is also a bearded brethren of mine.
Yes, he is. Although he's Canadian, I believe.
Aren't you Canadian?
No, you just think that because you've often seen me trying to ride a moose.
I mean, you are a Mountie, right?
Working on it. We'll get there one of these days. And then, finally, we have Yoshi's Island, which, like Star Fox, has never been released in its original form on Virtual Console or anything like that. We did get a port on the Game Boy Advance, then that has been released on other systems. But as far as the actual original Super NES Yoshi's Island, this is the first time we're getting it. And I am also very, very happy about that.
Yeah, it's cool. I'm less familiar with this title. I've definitely played it and enjoy it. But it's, to me, it's not the Super Mario World caliber, but it's still a game that I would enjoy to play again from time to time. So glad it's on here.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you. It's certainly not as good as Super Mario World. I mean, but then again, you know, few games are. But I never owned it on the Super NES back in the day. I did finally get it when there was the Game Boy Advance version. But that original, you know, it was just kind of too late in the system's life cycle, and so I passed on it. So it's going to be really cool to finally be able to own some version of the original. So that is pretty darn awesome.
Yeah, I think we're on the same page on that front. I didn't own it either. So, Chris, how do you think that matched up to our predictions and hopes? Like, the final list, is it everything that you hoped and dreamed?
That's right. We did do an episode about 2 months ago where we were speculating about the rumor of the Super NES Classic. And at that time, we thought it would be more like the NES Classic. We talked about, you know, the 30 games we would put on there. So, obviously, not everything that we include on our lists, you know, could make it into this version that only has 20 or 21 games on it, if you're counting Star Fox 2. However, 18 of the games I was hoping for did make it on here. The only two that were not on my list were Kirby's Dream Course and Secret of Mana. Hmm. And those are both still very worthy games. I mean, this is a pretty excellent list. I mean, you could think of other games you might want to have included, but there aren't too many of these that I would say kick them off. They don't deserve to be on a Super NES Classic. I mean, Nintendo has a very, very good lineup of games here, in my opinion. What do you think? And how did it match your hopes and predictions?
It is true. You can't really argue with this list. It's pretty solid.
I might try, though.
The biggest one in my mind would be, well, I'm sure other people would disagree, but my personal game that I would have liked to have seen on here is ActRaiser.
Oh, yes.
It's funny, we mentioned it earlier in the show, and it comes back full circle. Mm-hmm. But again, that game, just there was something very cool about it, and there haven't been a lot of games like that since. Mm-hmm. So kind of disappointed that it got the shaft a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, I totally agree. I would totally have that on mine. I mean, if I had it my way, I would be like, yeah, we probably don't need two Kirby games. Let's throw out Dream Course, because, you know, I haven't really played Dream Course, and I don't know, maybe it's amazing. But yeah, I would kind of boot out Dream Course and throw in ActRaiser, because ActRaiser was such a unique and amazing game, and it was, you know, pretty close to being a launch title, so it really set the stage for some amazing things as far as Mode 7 and as far as the sound chip went. And so, yes, I really wish that one could have been included. I completely agree with you there, Nemi Cakes.
Oh, wow. There are a couple other ones that I mentioned that I would like to have seen. There was one in particular, Mario Paint.
Oh.
Now, I know that that would have been quite a barrier to entry with having to release a mouse and all that, but it would have been fun to see somehow if they could have pulled that off.
Maybe. I think they probably made the right call there.
I think the bigger one that is near and dear to my heart that Nintendo actually created themselves is Pilot Wings. That's a seemingly glaring omission from this list.
Yeah, I have to agree. I mean, it was never like a personal favorite of mine, but because it was one of their big three launch games for the system, I really feel like it should be on here in some way.
Yeah, it's odd. It just seems like there must have been some reason, maybe.
Well, I mean, to me, I think the reason is the other games just are better. I mean, you know, I don't want to besmirch Pilot Wings or anything, but, you know, I don't think there's anything on this list where I could be like, yes, you should drop this and put in Pilot Wings instead, especially saying you should put in Pilot Wings instead of some other cool game that you could put on here. So I think it is weird. I think it deserves to be included. But if they're only going to include 21, I think they probably made the right call by leaving it off.
Yeah, you're right. And if you include Uniracers, you'd be making that you'd be making the same case. You couldn't justify putting Uniracers and like removing Secret of Mana or something like that.
I suppose. Although Uniracers does have an amazing soundtrack that I wasn't really privy to until just very recently.
Yeah, it's pretty rocking, right? It's
it is.
it's
pretty amazing.
It's MIDI overload.
For me, I think the one change I would make would be to remove Super Ghouls and Ghosts and to put in Final Fight instead.
Oh.
Because, you know, they're both from Capcom. I'm a big Capcom guy. But there aren't any side-scrolling beat-em-ups in this lineup.
Mm. Yeah,
so
you're right.
So Final Fight would fill that niche. And we're getting both Castlevania IV and Super Ghouls and Ghosts, and they're both side-scrolling action platformers with a horror theme. And while they're both really good games, and when I made my list of inclusions, I had them both on there. If we had to, you know, make room for Final Fight, I would squeeze out Super Ghouls and Ghosts to do it.
Yeah.
And Mike Hagar is off in a corner crying somewhere for being left out.
I was going to say, and it has Mike Hagar, so...
Just sitting there eating his hamburger and his roast.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So. Now, I will say, though, that Super Ghouls and Ghosts also seems to have the better mind share. I think more people are probably aware of that game. We could probably argue that at some point.
Final Fight was a popular arcade game, too.
Well, someday so. I'll grapple you and we'll decide in the ring. But I think it probably is slightly more popular. But, yeah, I understand.
I don't know about that.
The other huge omission here, and, you know, there's probably a million reasons why it's not on here, but you can't really talk about the Super Nintendo and RPGs without mentioning Chrono Trigger.
Yes. I mean, there's so many good RPGs on here that I'm, you know, pretty content with what we're getting. As you said, there's like, you know, 1,000 hours in here from just Earthbound and Final Fantasy and Legend of the Seven Stars. And having Chrono Trigger would have just been, you know, like the icing on the cake. And it is probably one of my top five, maybe even top three games on the Super NES. Mm-hmm. But there's just so much other RPG goodness. I can't be too upset about it. I mean, I suppose if I had my druthers, I might, you know, say, well, you can take out, you know, Secret of Mana, but Secret of Mana kind of fills a different niche, you know? So as much as I love that game, I'm not too broken up about it.
Yeah. Yeah, I can understand that.
But yes, in a perfect world, if we'd had 30 games, it should totally be on there. It is, you know, one of the best, no doubt about it.
Now, I have a question for you.
Okay.
I know you're a fan of shooters, and I notice there's a glaring absence of shooters on this.
No, that's true. I didn't even think about that, but you're right.
How do you feel about that?
I guess I'm just going to have to, you know, soothe my itchy trigger finger with Contra 3. I mean, it's not your traditional side-scrolling space shooter, but it is a shooter. Yeah, no Axley, no Gradius. It would have been nice to have one of those, but, I mean, Axley is, you know, kind of obscure compared to other games. I think Contra takes care of that for me, so I'm fine with it. I'm fine with it.
Hmm. All right. We're official ruling, you heard it here from the judge, Chris Hoffman.
Yeah, I mean, overall, I would say it's a pretty excellent lineup. Yeah, we can, you know, nitpick things here and there, you know, other games we'd like to have in there. Would have been really cool to have ActRaiser. Would have been really cool to have Final Fight. But overall, I think they did a fantastic job. And if you're going to have 21 games, this is a great 21 games to have in there. Mm-hmm. For me, really, the only question is going to be, how hard is it going to be to get our hands on one of these things?
Now, I'd like to think that Nintendo has learned their lesson from the NES Classic.
I mean, I'd like to think so, too. And they're kind of saying they're going to be more out there. They're going to be easier to get. But then we're going through the exact same motions that we went through last year, where big retailers are putting up pages on their websites saying, coming soon, but guess what? You can't pre-order it. Ha, ha, ha. So it makes me feel like it's just going to be another nightmare all over
again. They're waiting till you go camping and disappear away from the internet for 4 days, and then they'll release it the first day you're out.
Yeah, I know. I'm afraid to, you know, go to sleep or take a shower because, like, all of a sudden, well, we'll put them up right now. Or go to the dentist. That happened with the Amiibo one time, the Lucina Amiibo, that wave. I was getting, you know, my teeth cleaned, and I come out 45 minutes later. It's like, guess what? All the Amiibo were pre-sold. Ha, ha, ha. You don't get them now.
I can literally imagine you being like, hi, I got the Amiibo.
More or less.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had to fight my hygienist to grab my cell phone and start doing pre-orders right then and there. That's a lie. That did not happen. But yeah, I hope they get something figured out, so it's not a nightmare. Otherwise, I feel like I should start lining up tomorrow or something. It's just kind of crazy to think that we are only 3 months away from this thing.
Yeah, what's going on? It's like this year is almost over. If you own the 3DS and the Switch and you're planning on picking up a SNES Classic, you are ready to go. Like, December might as well be here already. It's like every month there's some like top hits coming out. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, this kind of is just the icing on the cake. We're only a couple months away from Metroid, and then Mario and Splatoon is only a few weeks off. Mm-hmm. Yeah, lots of good stuff. Yeah, Nintendo is really doing a good job of taking away my money this year.
Absolutely. Almost makes you wonder, can they sustain this into next year? Or is it just going to be like January and there's just nothing?
Yeah, it could be a wasteland. But at any rate, I'm going to certainly enjoy all the good, cool stuff while we get it. And if there's a little bit of time for me to rest up and replenish my wallet, you know, that's going to be okay, too.
I'm going to make an amiibo of my beard that you'll have to run out and buy, but there's only going to be one.
Very exclusive.
Yes, extremely exclusive.
So, in conclusion, I'm very excited about the Super NES Classic. I'm definitely looking forward to it, and I am, you know, crossing my fingers that, you know, getting in line at 4 a.m. again will be enough to get it for me. Not going to have to, you know, line up next week or anything like that. Anything else you want to say about it?
Yeah, not really. I am wondering where you plan on picking yours up at. I know that you've had some issues with retailers in the past, so I'm kind of curious what your thoughts are on where to pick up a SNES Classic.
Well, I mean, I will go with whoever puts up pre-orders first. If I can order one from Best Buy, I will do that. If I have to go stand out in front of Target in the middle of the night, like I did last year for the NES Classic, I will totally do that. Just as long as I can get my hands on one, I'll be happy.
Cool. Yeah, I might hit up the Nintendo World Store. We'll see. There's always usually a massive line there. So.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure there will be. But hey, at least you're in the company of lots of good Nintendo fans.
That's true.
All right. Well, I think that does it for this week's big topic. So I guess we should wrap up the show. But before we go, we do still have time for one more thing, and I think you know what that is.
What's that, Chris?
It is a dramatic reading. This time, from the back of the box of one of my all-time favorite games, a true classic, Mega Man 2 for the NES.
He's back, and this time the evil Dr. Wily, once the supreme power in the universe, has created even more sinister robots to mount his attack. But as Mega Man, you've also grown in power and ability. Can you save mankind from the evil desires of Dr. Wily? Each of the eight empires is ruled by a different super robot. You must defeat each enemy on his own turf, building up weapons as you go. Only after all are destroyed will you go head-on with the mastermind himself, the evil Dr. Wily. But be alert, Mega Man. Dr. Wily has powers his creations did not. Civilization relies on your skill and courage, confident that you, Mega Man, will stand tall in the end.
It's funny how it's like a summary of the game, but it's like the coolest summary ever.
I just like that they're still calling them empires like they did on the back of the box for the first Mega Man. It's not quite as ridiculous as that one, but still pretty bizarre.
I mean, come on, it is an empire, right? Right?
I don't think I would call a fortress filled with mechanical dogs and robotic apes an empire, but maybe that's just me.
You wouldn't just call a cave an empire?
Not unless it contains something a little bit more substantial than an army of robotic fish. Anyway, I guess that does it for this week's show. As always, you can find us at powerpros.podbean.com, and you can follow us at PowerProsPod on both Facebook and Twitter. You can follow me, The Hoff, on Twitter at ChrisTheHoff, and you can find Pete at BurlyRedYeti. You can email us at powerprospod@gmail.com about those Nintendo Power questions or for any other reason. And of course, if you like the podcast, it would be great if you would give us a rating on iTunes or tell a friend. Thanks for listening, everybody. For myself, Pete Michaud.
Thanks for tuning in.
And my personal medic, Sharla.
Why do I waste my time?
We will see you next time.